Let's get growing. Welcome to the Home Show Garden Pros. It's time for gardening and landscape tips and advice from Houston's leading garden and landscape experts, members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op, and your host, Conservation Programs Manager at Memorial Park, Danny Milliken.
Well, hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Danny.
Thank you very much. Anita Nelson here. Anita is purveyor of Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens in Katy. Beautiful spot.
Yeah, and that's a big word, purveyor.
Well,
so
thank
impressed.
You. Well, yeah, thank you.
Is that
you.
Your New Year's resolution, using big words on the radio?
No, it's not. It's not. I do have some substantial New Year's resolutions, but
yes.
Using big words on the radio is not one of them. So, but if I was going to follow Danny Linderman's advice or a New Year's resolution he just gave, do better.
Do better.
Maybe that would fall under that.
I think that's my resolution every day.
Yes, that is a great thing to do every day. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a New Year's resolution show, gardening resolutions generally. But do you have any personal resolutions that you feel like you want to share?
Well, I just wanted to say today is a very significant day in the world, January 4th, because on this day, 65 years ago, my husband was born.
Mm. Happy birthday.
Hey, Rolf, yes.
Rolf's birthday is today. That's
today.
So wonderful. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Rolf.
Mm-hmm.
Still kicking. I love it.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Today is a good day.
So my resolution today is to give him a happy birthday as soon as I get off the show.
Okay. Nice. That's great. Yep. And I'm sure you'll be able to.
Yes.
One of my resolutions is to be more like Anita. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, my resolution would be more like you.
Okay. Well,
glib
thanks.
And Irish like you are.
Yeah, glib and Irish. Well, Anita's been praying for me every single day, and she texts me when she does that. And it really does help me and my family that she's been lifting up. It's been a wonderful, very important part of our recovery and our redemption.
Oh, thank you, Danny.
So, yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, right.
So it's Home Show Self-Help Pros. No, just kidding. Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. This show, what we do is we work on being better gardeners.
Yeah, gardening is a whole – is a spiritual thing for me. It's meditative when you're out in the garden.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think that all ties in.
You know, Danny said the same thing. He mentioned the same thing, that it is this really like a time of meditation, a time of really, you know, self-pondering.
It is. Working in the garden, my thoughts just go all over the place.
And I don't know that there's another thing, you know, another activity that is quite as purely, potentially quieting.
Well, and you're touching the earth.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, Japanese culture has this thing called forest bathing.
Yeah, forest bathing.
Yeah, because they think it's so important to touch the earth.
Forest bathing, you go out into a place, you touch the soil, but you also just breathe and receive and listen, and you're present.
Yes. Oh, you know, my parents must have been way ahead of their times, because they were always into us going on hikes on the weekends.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd all go to some nearby park and hike. That was a family thing that we did.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, we're here to talk about gardening. Mm-hmm. To really, what we do on this kind of first few episodes of the year is really explore gardening resolutions.
Yes.
A couple we talked about a little bit with Danny is wasting less water, being more water smart. That's going to kill less plants for you. That's going to actually reduce your water bill, which is kind of great. One of the ones I really want to talk about more is wildlife gardening.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about pollinator beds a lot. We talk about, you know, monarch beds. But I just want to kind of broaden that and call it wildlife gardening. Birds, butterflies, host plants, caterpillars, bees, all of them are pretty easily impacted by your landscaping, but positively.
Yeah.
So something I want to
consider. It's funny you should say that, because I started my wildlife garden this past fall. I mean, my whole yard is a wildlife, but I've brought in a lot of plants specifically to increase the number of caterpillars and butterflies and such. And so it's been one of my goals, inadvertently tying in with the show.
That is awesome. And we're going to explore some other ones that you'll kind of bring to light. And we want to hear from you, 713-572-4610. We want to hear what's on your mind, gardening questions, gardening resolutions. You know, what are some great successes that you look forward to having this year? We also want to help you turn resolutions into goals, give you some practical advice on how to do that, because that's what we do.
Yes.
So here on this Rolf's birthday, Texans Saturday, Happy New Year. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Let your senses transport you to a peaceful hideaway where beauty and tranquility are waiting for you. Enchanted nurseries and landscaping in Richmond. Striking display gardens, plants, shrubs, and trees accompanied by the sights and sounds of fountains, chimes, and whimsical garden art. Enchanted Forest on FM 2759 and Enchanted Gardens on FM 359. For three generations, family-owned, family-run, sharing their gardening passions, helping you find yours. Enchanted Nurseries and Landscaping. Discover them online at myenchanted.com.
You can be a better gardener. The Home Show Garden Pros can help with advice you can trust and the tools our co-op members recommend.
MicroLife All Organic Biological Fertilizers. Healthy soils, healthy plants, healthy people. Southwest Fertilizer. Quality lawn and garden supplies since 1955.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now, 713-572-4610.
Welcome back to Home Show Garden Pros. More answers to your gardening questions coming up in a few moments. Good morning. This is Sherry from Plants for All Seasons. We can help you with your container design, your landscape, freshening it up, adding beautiful flowers, and if you just want to improve your grass. If you're late on your planting, we still have plenty of pansies available. I think our customers come to Plants for All Seasons again and again because they have a good experience from the minute they walk in the door and see the selection to the load-up boy that loads them up with a smile on his face. So whether you need help with lawn problems, weeds, trees, shrub health, veggie and herb gardening, or you just want to add beautiful flowers to your beds, pots, and hanging baskets, stop by. We're here to help you with all your lawn and garden solutions. The best way is if we can get our eyes on it. So take your pictures, bring your samples, and we'll help you come up with the best solution to your lawn and garden needs. If you're up towards the northwest side of Houston, we're at 21328 State Highway 249, just north of Louetta on the northbound feeder. And we'll reopen on January 6th. And now more Home Show Garden Pros with Anita and Danny.
713-572-4610. This is, in fact, Home Show Garden Pros,
where us gardeners get together and chat about gardening. So call us with your gardening questions because we just love to be challenged.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. This new year, you know, it's great. New year, new you. All right. 713-572-4610. Talking gardening resolutions. One of the ones that I feel like a lot of people maybe can do, and you know me, my heart is in, well, this whole gardening thing I think is so amazing because it all comes back to food. You know, horticulture really is centered on food, and that's how I think of it. It's not just food for people, but food for wildlife. The best way to get great results in your gardening, even if you're growing azaleas, is to think of food for the soil.
And for the soul.
Yeah, and for the soul, if you will. And so you've got this opportunity to feed your roots, and that feeds the plants. And so it's all kind of food related, but the most simple way to think of it is food gardening. Mm-hmm. And I know you love growing berries.
I grow berries, and I just got so busy this fall. The only fall crop I put in was golden beets. You can't buy those in the grocery store,
right,
but I love
right.
them.
Yes.
So I just, but usually I'll put in some kale. We plant potatoes.
Oh, cool. Well, I really want to talk about like the fruit and berry gardening.
Yeah, I have a berry garden.
And so what are some of the berries that you grow?
I had raspberries till Harvey came along and killed my raspberry vine. But
what are some tips on growing raspberry? I think that's something that people are like, what, raspberries?
Well, raspberries are thorny, so you need a fence and a long one.
Okay, it's a trellis fence.
Yes, a trellis fence so that they can grow along the fence.
Because you do not want them. They will naturally do a bird's nest.
And you don't because you can't get the berries.
Right, because they're so thorny.
Grow them along a fence in an area that doesn't flood. Of course, this area normally doesn't flood, but
sure.
Harvey came along. So
yeah.
They need water. They need to be watered during the summertime, but they don't really need a whole lot of care. They didn't really when I had them. I didn't even fertilize them all that much.
And how delicious were your raspberries?
Beyond delicious.
Beyond delicious. So, I mean, if you're out there and you're like, you can't do raspberries, we're here to say you can do raspberries.
But if your neighbor has a chain link fence and you don't like them, I recommend raspberries.
Well, I mean, that's pretty awesome. And as we talk about...
And they might like you after that because they'll get some fruit on their side.
They will get some on their side too. So the the same sort of thing applies to blackberries, growing blackberries.
Same with blackberries.
You want to give mm-hmm. them a two-dimensional structure to grow on that's pretty long.
Yes, because it's just way too hard to get in there and get them when they're...
Well, and you actually get more fruit because mm-hmm. any of the vines growing in the ground aren't going to make fruit.
No.
There's actually a biblical parable about that. But it's interesting because I think a lot of people think you can't do raspberries in our area.
No, you can.
So there you go. There you go. You can find some out there. Mm-hmm. Just build that trellis first.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, that's really great. That's great. So we're going to keep exploring mm-hmm. fruit and berry growing as a resolution.
The key to raspberries is that you could get water to them in the summertime during the drought periods.
That's the key.
Because they really won't make it through a drought period.
Like a drip hose.
A drip hose would be great for them.
What an easy.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
not to belittle people that have killed the raspberry from dryness. I've done that. But a drip hose seems like a simple solution. So we're going to keep exploring this, 713-572-4610. We're also going to keep answering your gardening questions. And Mark, you are on Home Show Garden Pros.
Yes, sir. I have a question. I have four fruit trees in my backyard here in Friendswood.
That's our topic right now.
Awesome. Well, I have two pears and two peaches. And what I've noticed is they're like all on different schedules. Some of them have lost all their leaves. Some of them haven't. Some of them are already starting to put blooms on. Mm. And my question is when should I prune them? And how do I do it?
So, you know, big topic. One thing that I think is a kind of a travesty is in the selling of these plants. A lot of careless sellers are just selling to a pair of pears, if you will, and not really saying, don't get these two because they flower at way different times, right? Probably someone in a 2 mile radius of you has a pear tree that's flowering at the same time as your pear tree. But those two, because they flower at different times, aren't going to pollinate each other. And so it is kind of a sad reality. Pruning, do you have any thoughts on when to prune, Anita?
Mm-mm.
Well, so pruning as far as I'm concerned and what I've learned from Urban Harvest and Bob Randall is that the kind of best way to go about pruning is they'll all have their time in the spring after the frost when you want to prune them. And I've always gone with when they do a real flush of flowers. And so if you're seeing a smattering of flowers, that's probably just unseasonal kind of awakening the plant is doing because it hasn't been that cold. But so sometime in February or March, there'll be a flush of flowers that would be followed by a flush of new growth. And right when that flush of flowers starts is the perfect time to prune. So if you can kind of anticipate it. But it's going to be different for every tree. Do you remember the varieties that you've got?
One of them is a methylene plum.
Yeah.
And then the other plum is another popular one. I can't remember which one it was. And then on the peaches, I think it's like Florida Prince, Florida King, or something like that.
Yeah, so the two peaches are very low chill hours. And so they are going – those are probably a February 1st pruning if it looks like we're not going to have any more freezes. But even if we do have a freeze, it'll wipe away all the blooms anyway. And so the methylene, and if you've got another one like Santa Rosa or Segundo plums.
That's what it is, Santa Rosa.
Okay, those do, but you got good pairs. You wound up with a good set of pollinating pairs. That's awesome. So way to go, man. That's really great. Good job, Mark.
Oh, good.
With the peaches, you're talking early to mid February is the ideal pruning time. Now you don't want to prune before a freeze. And with those plums, it's probably mid March is the ideal pruning time. But you want to keep an eye on like a real blooming bud out. So
okay. So the plums are later. You prune them say in March and then the pears a little earlier.
Yeah, and this all correlates with chill hours. How many chill hours they need before they start putting on their fruit, right? Did you mention you were southeast of town, or am I just imagining that?
I said Friendswood.
Friendswood,
yeah,
okay, yeah.
Friendswood.
Yeah, so you're a little bit warmer. You have fewer chill hours than Anita would have out in mm-hmm. Katy or someone up in the Woodlands would have. And so chill hours, you know, are the number of combined hours through the winter around 40 degrees. And, you know, once you get those, the tree then can make fruit. And so ones with more chill hours, like the meth, like the plums, which are all in the 300, 400 range, are gonna flower later to get more chill hours than the ones in the 150 range, which your peaches are both in that range. So it's kind of like a really – you're in a good situation. But I would say
– Should I put – I'm sorry. I was going to ask, should I put any fertilizer on them now or do you wait?
I'd wait until like prune, fertilize with MicroLife. That's what I would do, or compost,
okay,
or both. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Well, hey, thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Fruit trees to me are such an easy access to it, and mm-hmm. they do require this yearly difficult pruning. I will say that Urban Harvest, Mark, if you're still listening, Urban Harvest has an awesome fruit tree pruning class that happens throughout the year, and it's going on now. And you can kind of plug into that, look at their website. It would be coming into town to do it. Or if you want some hands-on stuff, there's lots of people that do consultation, and you're welcome to email the show, Homeshow Garden Pros, ask a pro button to find out some recommendations for consultation. So that's something you can do too.
I have a question about pruning.
But let's can we wait a little bit till after the break? We'll hit this break, and then we'll get to this question on pruning. Awesome. Thank you so much, and a great call. Mark, thank you. 713-572-4610.
Native plants, hardy, suited to our climate. Find them in the Heights at Buchanan's Native Plants. Devoted to Texas native plants and organic gardening for over 30 years. Perennials, annuals, herbs, vegetables, trees, shrubs, and roses, they're all waiting at Buchanan's, along with houseplants, succulents, and cacti. Plus, Buchanan's bungalow features one-of-a-kind gifts and home decor. Find your way to Buchanan's, 611 11th Street, online at buchanansplants.com. Welcome back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
Home Show Garden Pros is back. 713-572-4610.
Call us with your gardening questions.
Absolutely. Take a second to talk about Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping, and Lighting. Man, if your New Year's resolution or something you want to do is to have that dream backyard, that vision that you've expected and you desire, and you're like, oh, I can't do that, Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping, and Lighting can do it. And they can do it sustainably as possible, basically, because they start with the design. They don't start with, you know, getting sustainable stuff. They start with a sustainable design that will flow, be beautiful. They're going to focus on using a lot less water, using smart watering systems. But also they love natural stone patios. They can use a lot of the different kind of pavers that are out there. And they're into food gardens too. And so you want a living wall that's making some herbs, they can do that. You want a beautiful organic vegetable garden, they can do that. Arbors, pergolas, arbors for your grapes. Anything, outdoor kitchens, fireplaces, just beautiful landscapes. Mike Ball can do it. So they can design with beauty in mind, with purpose in mind, and definitely with sustainability in mind, and it be beautiful and not too intense. So call Mike Ball with your vision. They will custom build this dream project of yours for less than you expect. Give them a chance. Have them out. They do such a great job. Their website is MikeBallIrrigation.com, and their phone number is 713-816-5311. Again, that website is MikeBallIrrigation.com. Anita Nelson here with me now.
And I'm asking Danny a question.
Uh-oh.
I'm becoming a listener, sort of. And I'm thinking about flowers and fruit, and I know that each flower represents a potential fruit. And I'm wondering, why would you prune when they're flowering? Well, that doesn't make sense to me in a way.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. Totally. Each fruit does come from a flower.
Mm-hmm.
And but really, the most important thing to remember that good fruit production is based on is pattern of growth of the tree and healthy roots. And so we don't want to let branches that are growing straight up be in your tree, because there's a good chance that those will change the pattern of the growth of the tree, actually change some of the chemical communication that's happening to the tree to make less fruit. So if we skip pruning, we could skip that step. That gives us just all over less flowers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every branch has the potential to put flowers on and put them on all the time. So even if you're pruning before flowers come out, you're still taking off potential flowers, right?
Yes.
You're taking off future flowers. And so it's the same thing. It's just this really important and helpful visual guide.
Yeah, I guess you know exactly what fruit will be produced if you can see the flowers and what you're pruning off and where you don't want the fruit to be.
Yeah, and it early on in a tree's life, mm-hmm. any time in a tree's life, more fruit is not always ideal. Mm-hmm. In fact, less fruit is often much better. Sometimes on a mature plum, it's much better to get 100 good-sized plums than 500 tiny plums. You know what I mean? They're just going to be smaller. It's going to be less flavorful, mm-hmm. Less juicy. And so, you know, if you wait till after you're at that flowering stage, then you're at the fruiting stage, and then you're even like, it's more painful to cut them off.
Uh-huh.
So I'm even going to encourage thinning mm-hmm. to people when it comes to fruit care, because it's that whole question of, do I want 300, you know, lousy oranges, or do I want 150 excellent oranges every single year? And you get in there when they're still quarter sized and you pull off half of them.
You mean the oranges, not the fruit, though, at that point?
Everything.
Everything.
Apples, plums, oranges.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you say when they're quarter sized, you mean the fruit.
Yes. Yeah. The actual fruit, post-flower.
Post-flower.
Yeah. And so it's just kind of like something that if you reduce the amount of fruit the tree will make, you'll actually give yourself a chance to have better fruit.
Right, because in the tree's mindset, it's like, uh-oh, I don't have as much fruit. I better make the fruit I have more attractive to my...
It's going to pump the energy into its fruit.
Uh-huh.
And so for me, again, a nice, delicious, huge peach is awesome compared to a bunch of tiny peaches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my preference on it. And the flower thing, it seems like maybe it's counterintuitive, but what it is it gives you this like perfect window to prune.
Yeah.
So it's before leaf growth. It's right before leaf growth. But at any point in the pruning of a branch, you're taking off potential fruiting space. But generally, you're taking off less than ideal fruiting space. So is that, I mean, you know, it's really pretty philosophical.
Well, now I know the when, the where, and the why.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I will say that, you know, a good fruit tree seller is always going to tell you to not let any fruit grow the first 2 years. Any at all.
Yeah, I've heard you say that in previous shows, too.
And so that's a tough reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, yes, you can get by letting...
And that's this... hard to be patient.
It is. But really what happens is you're encouraging the root growth,
mm-hmm.
which is such a kicker.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a saying that we had forever with Edible Earth Resources, all of the talks I've ever given on fruit trees. It's that more roots, more fruits. You know, healthier roots, healthier fruits. What's a healthier fruit? It's a bigger, better tasting, more nutrition. Will you say that word I'm going for?
Nutritious.
Nutritious fruit. And so it's like everything you want comes from
kind
of taking care of the roots.
The roots.
Yeah.
Which is almost the theme of our whole home show gardening approach.
No, and when we go
show is roots, soil.
Yeah. I mean we're deep, you know?
Our roots run deep.
Well, that's true, but like we're being deep.
Yes.
When we talk about roots.
Yeah.
And emotions. Happy New Year. All right, 713-572-4610. Great. Thank you for that question.
Yes.
I'm going to keep hitting you with a bunch of berry questions, so
okay.
I'll get my revenge for sure.
Uh-huh.
Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Get growing at Warren Southern Gardens. Whether you're a garden newbie or ninja, Warren's helps you succeed without ever making you feel stupid. From seed and soil to plants and products, Dean and Bernice and the whole crew at Warren's gets you growing because their roots run deep. Come wander Warren's Pathways, where it's always safe to set your inner gardener free. Warren Southern Gardens, 1675 North Park Drive, Kingwood. Online at warrensoutherngardens.com. You're listening to the Home Show Garden Pros. Gardening help you want, answers you can trust from members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op.
Zach Buchanan from Buchanan's Native Plants in the Heights.
I'm Joey Linderman from Enchanted Nurseries and Landscapes in Richmond.
This is Diane Bulanowski from Warren Southern Gardens, located in beautiful Kingwood, the livable forest.
Connect with Home Show Garden Pros Co-op members anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com or call now
713-572-4610. 713-572-4610. We're on Sports Radio 610 and we are Home Show Garden Pros, and I got an awesome garden pro right here with me, Anita Nelson.
Good morning, everybody. Please call our show.
Yeah,
713-4610.
713-572-4610. So, yeah, look at us. Set it in sync. That's nice. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Mm-hmm. Probably threw you off because we started at first and then I stopped. And you're like, wait, where'd you go? Okay, so we're chatting through some gardening resolutions, some we've kind of talked about, using less water, being more water smart, wildlife gardening, really paying mm-hmm. attention to how to feed the birds, how to get caterpillars in for butterfly host plants, stuff like that. And birds will eat your bad caterpillars, so that's kind of a cool thing to remember. But we have one we're talking about right now, and that is planting fruit and berry trees. So just had a great question about pruning it and a discussion on when to prune it and, you know, how to stay emotionally balanced while mm-hmm. you prune off your beautiful flowers. But we talked about berries a little bit, and Anita loves berries. I spend a lot of money at the grocery store buying berries, and I know that they're like probably from far away and aren't as nutritious as the ones I could do at home. So we talked some about raspberries.
We did.
And I think probably that covers the tips on blackberries. If you want to hear that advice, we do have a podcast, and you can kind of check up on that. It comes out on Monday, and it's the whole show kind of released in two different podcasts. We also have a listen live button, and whatever we're saying today will be back on again at later today. And so you can mm-hmm. hear that part about the raspberries and the blackberries. What other berries do you grow?
I grow strawberries. Unsuccessfully.
Well, let's just get into strawberries because I think I have not had a lot of success with them, but I understand the theory of them. The times I have success are when I've kind of forgotten about them.
Uh-huh.
And so you grow strawberries, but you haven't got a lot of crops.
I have not been successful with them, but I'm not going to stop trying until I find that.
What have been some kind of theories you've applied to growing strawberries?
Well, a commercial grower grows them in a mound.
Right.
And I guess that's because they really need good drainage, but they have to be accessible to water too. So I'm not interested in putting out lines of tape
right.
of water sure. and irrigation and all that. So I had an area that dropped off. So I planted them all along this kind of ridge area. And then the deer came along.
Uh-oh.
So all the strawberries nearest the house have all been mowed down. But the ones closer to the house have sent out runners. Because the deer aren't coming up close to the house, and they are growing. So this will be my second year, 10th attempt at growing strawberries.
Yeah.
I also grow them in a raised bed very successfully.
Oh, see.
But again, Harvey came along and flooded that whole garden, and I kind of gave up that area.
Sure.
So
and we can't expect
year two on strawberries.
Our gardening failures to, you know, we can expect mm-hmm. Harvey to have affected gardening failures, but they're the kind of things, that's the kind of thing we can't plan on.
No, you can't plan against 40 inches of rain. And,
right.
Yeah.
But we can plan on good mm-hmm. soil, deep roots,
we can.
Well-drained soil being a mm-hmm. great place for them.
Yeah.
People do encourage runners. People also discourage runners. To me, that first season gave me some runners.
Yeah, I'm just leaving them be and letting them crawl all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. And
even places where I don't want them to go, I'm going to let them just grow there.
I love that. It'd be mm-hmm. awesome to have strawberries as a weed in your beds, and then all of a sudden you've got all of them.
Yeah, and I've mulched them with pine straw too.
Yeah, I think I was about to get into a question about mulching them because I think that is something that in the idea of they like to drain, they don't want to be sitting against wet soil.
Yeah.
So they do like to be lifted up a little bit.
Yeah.
So if you can tuck a little pine straw underneath the leaves, sometimes that's very, very helpful. And that with pine straw, that you should only have to do that very seldomly because it doesn't break down very quickly.
No. I love pine straw.
It's an excellent medium for strawberry growth.
It has been good. So this year will be another year to see how it goes.
And but you have gotten crops of strawberries from your raised beds.
I have, yes. Done very well with that.
Well, how did you fertilize those?
Well, I had it in an area where it wasn't at my house, so I had to go visit it every other day
or
so.
Okay, that's interesting.
So I wasn't real diligent about fertilizing or anything, and I'm actually not even sure I actually did fertilize it.
Well, sure.
And it still produced fruit, and the fruit were good, and it was fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's kind of a case in point is that these are a close relative of a wild plant.
Yes.
They are domesticated.
Yes.
But they're really kind of not fully domesticated. They're fairly unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can kind of treat them as such, you maybe will have some more success.
And all of them were planted with a healthy dose of microlife in each.
When they were planted.
When I planted them, yeah.
Activating the soil. Yeah. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is awesome. So strawberries, very, very popular berry. A great way to get them going. You can do them in your veggie bed, but you do them on a hillside. The most success I've had is kind of on a little bit of a hillside under a tree.
Yeah.
And it got a lot of southern sun.
Yeah.
That was where I've had the most success. And again, pine straw was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well-drained soil was a big part of it.
Yeah. So, mine are getting northern sun, so we'll see.
Yeah. No, that's great. I think that they're unpredictable but resilient plant.
Yeah.
If you don't over-tend them, mm-hmm. kind of like rosemary. So, awesome. So that's strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, berry. If you had a berry resolution, we will cover blueberries. But if you had a berry resolution, then you should be feeling pretty happy right now. So we are going to take a quick break, 713-572-4610. We want to hear from you. Clay, I see you. You're definitely going to be our first thing right up after this quick break. We are Home Show Garden Pros.
It's time to prep and till your soil for spring. Hello, friends. Bob Patterson from Southwest Fertilizer. We have tools that'll make your dirt work easier. Bring home a Steel or Echo garden tiller to finish big jobs in a hurry. Toss your broken, dull tools, start new, and pick from our expansive wall of garden tools. Come visit Southwest Fertilizer. We've got everything to get you ready for spring. Southwest Fertilizer, 5828 Bissonnette at Renwick, southwestfertilizer.com.
Welcome back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610. Having a good time answering your gardening questions. We have the opportunity to talk right now to a person that's going to answer some more of your questions before you even knew you had them. And that's John Ferguson with Nature's Way Resources. Hey, John.
Good morning, Danny. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. I really appreciate you asking that. The new year has begun. So we're going to ask you a question. You're just going to kind of riff on it, give us some awesome information. So we talk about top dressing on the show, but when should I plan my winter top dressing for the lawn?
If you're using a good compost, you can do it at any time.
Mm.
And if you do it early, late fall, the layer of compost insulates in case we have a very hard freeze and protects the runners.
Okay.
And when you do, even if you did it in midwinter, the dark color of the compost helps warm the soil up faster in the spring, gets the grass growing, and greens up sooner.
Gotcha. But it won't, like, feed the weeds and give a big weed burst.
No, weeds want soils dominated by bacteria, and a good compost is balanced in the fungus and bacteria, so it does not encourage the weeds.
Okay, so by spring you'll even have less weeds.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Because it makes the soil healthy, and all plants grow better.
Well, that is really great information. So John is with Nature's Way Resources. Tell him your website, John.
The website is naturewayresources.com.
Well, that's pretty simple. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, man. Have a good one, Danny.
Thanks, John. 713-572-4610. We're going to keep on answering gardening questions, just like John did, just like Anita's been doing. Clay, you're on Home Show Garden Pros. What's your question for Anita?
Yeah, so I've got I live in Pearland. And I've got...
Pears? You got pears?
Citrus. Oh. I don't have pears. you probably should, just out of respect. but the soil's pretty great out here. And I'm not really, like, a great gardener. I'm a band director, so I don't have a whole lot of time to do that. But I do want to have that. And our mother-in-law lives with us, and she takes care of all that stuff. We have some raised beds and whatnot. But my question is... we've got some, like, lemon, lime, orange, like, mostly citrus, and then persimmon, fig trees. And I'm seeing now in the citrus trees, I started seeing, like, a different species growing in it, within the trunk of the citrus. And it's, like, long, skinny, with thorns. It's green.
Yeah.
And now it's about 8 foot tall.
Sure.
Well, first of all,
yes, we can identify probably exactly what the problem is. One of two things, most likely what Anita's about to say.
Well, I just want to say band directors rock.
Yes. Yeah. That is not what I thought she was going to say, but that's completely true. So good job doing that.
But yeah, the first thing that came to mind was that the rootstock at the graft, below the graft, which is usually, what's the name of that orange that they use?
Trifoliate. Very common.
And it's real thorny and vigorous. And so it's, that's probably what is come out below the graft and is coming up.
So that's what you want to check,
yeah.
Clay. You want to look at the base of the trunk of the tree, and there should be a little bitty scar where they grafted. So they have to use rootstocks in our area because they want to get exactly the same kind of cloned fruit, so you can guarantee a type of fruit, right? If it was grown from seed, it would be a genetically different plant.
Mm-hmm.
So you graft it onto a rootstock, and they choose rootstocks that do well in our area. But a lot of those are very vigorous growers. Trifoliate orange in kind of East Texas is actually an invasive plant that people remove all the time. But so you want to check that little a circle scar around the base of the trunk. Anything growing from beneath that is take it off immediately, no matter how big it is. Done. You're taking it off because it is not.
So how can I remove that safely without damaging the other tree?
Well, it doesn't.
Just cut it? Or
yeah, you
rip
cut.
It out,
you want to cut it vertical to the ground as best you can. If it's coming up from away from the base of the away from the roots, like from the roots themselves, away from the trunk, you want to go dig it out a little bit, cut it beneath the ground, and then put some mulch back over the top of it. There is a chance that it's what's called a water sprout, which would be genetically the same as your fruit-bearing one, but kind of have faced a threat and gone into survival mode instead of just traditional production mode. And you can just trim that off safely too. But if it is this trifoliate orange, it is not the citrus that you bought and want to eat. It is actually a gross-tasting citrus that you don't want to have in your yard.
And eventually it'll overpower the grafted part of the plant.
Yeah, what's already happening, mm-hmm. Anita, you're absolutely right, is the roots are feeding this other portion because that's what the roots are.
Right.
So you want to check that graft line on all the trees from now on. Right now it's going to be kind of like pretty big surgery, but from now on it'll be a little bitty branch here and there, and you just, mm-hmm. you just pinch it off with your fingers. But this one is probably you're going to need to get a saw or clippers out. But you want to cut it as vertically as you can to the ground.
Okay, I got you. So I was right. My wife was wrong. That's good to hear. She was saying it's just another branch from the tree. It's just growing.
It might be what's known as a water sprout. But you can always send us pictures too. HomeshowGardenPros.com. There's a button called Ask a Pro. Put a picture on there. And you can get confirmation on your marital dispute.
So I have one more actual theory. It's a little off topic from citrus or fruits. But I was thinking this last weekend. I went down to Alvin to pick up some raw milk from a farm. I just had this theory that, you know, we've had microbreweries pop up everywhere, right, for beer. And then, like, coffee shops, and everybody's kind of trying to do that thing. I really seriously think the next big thing is, like, micro farms.
I think it would be absolutely wonderful.
Micro brewery.
I mean, I think
it's... I really see that happening.
Yeah, I love it. It's just, like, the breweries have found a financial model that works, right? So they can do this, and a lot of it has to do with community support. And community support agriculture mm-hmm. has been around forever. Yep. And so I would love that. I think that'd be amazing. More people, more connected with their food is my dream for this world.
And did you know that there are micro cows, too, that you can...
Yeah,
I'm little, serious. Little there are little... Yeah, the little Dexters are one variety, and they produce about a gallon of milk a day instead of a normal cow, which does anywhere from 5 to 6 gallons a day. And you can have your own little cow, as long as you have about an acre of land, producing your own milk.
Yeah.
I love it, Clay. I love the idea. Let's keep talking about it.
All right.
Yep. All right, man. Thank you.
Guys.
Happy New Year.
Yep. Yeah, but we're the fruit and vegetable and horticulture show, not the dairy product show.
We can get into it as much as we want. 713-572-4610.
Yep.
People being closer connected to the soil, to themselves, it's really what gardening does.
And I believe cows eat plants, so that kind of all ties in.
Cows do eat plants. Mm-hmm. I can confirm that. This is Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
License M20628 TACLA 15663 ETECL 30557.
When you need a plumber, you have lots of choices. Hello, I'm Alan O'Neill of Abacus Plumbing. The thing that separates Abacus Plumbing from the rest of our competition is our commitment to quality and extraordinary customer service. Our team has earned 9 awards of excellence from the Houston Better Business Bureau, and it's one of the most recommended plumbing companies in all of Texas. Next time you need a plumber, choose Abacus, because you can count on us.
Call 713-PLUMBING or visit 713plumbing.com.
Get more from your gardening. The Home Show Garden Pros are here to help with advice and tools they trust to keep things green.
Southwest Fertilizer, quality lawn and garden supplies since 1955.
Mike Ball Irrigation Landscaping and Lighting, putting the wow back in your yard.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now, 713-572-4610.
All right, Home Show Garden Pros, we're back. Anita Nelson.
Danny Milliken.
Yes. So what's up? What's happening at Nelson's Nursery? I was recently out there. I was really wowed by the y'all's herb selection. I loved it.
We've always had a good herb selection because we like herbs.
I think herbs are such an underrated landscape category.
Oh, it's interesting. One reason why we have so many of them is because anybody who has a water garden has a lot of rock. And anytime you have rock, you create a little microclimate.
Yeah.
And herbs grow great in that kind of dried out air around the rock and the drier soil around a rock.
That's so. Like the best way to get lavender and rosemary to survive in Houston is by having a setting like that.
Yeah, next to your driveway or a rocky area, they love it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then next to your driveway, you run it over all the time. So.
And they don't care because they'll spring right back.
I digress.
Depending on the driver you are. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I digress. Or how many teens are in your house. So what's that? What's happening these days at Nelson's?
I was listening to Danny earlier, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, he's a little bit ahead of us. We haven't set our calendar yet or anything.
Sure.
But we'll be working on that. We're going to, of course, change things up at the nursery like we do every year, just like it sounded like Danny does at Enchanted Gardens.
You know?
Every year something has to be improved and made better, and we'll be working on that this spring. This winter. We've got to be ready for spring.
That's true.
We're really focusing on the water gardening area and getting it consolidated and all grouped together and that type of thing.
I mean – every time I'm out there, I'm like, man, this is a freaking – sorry about the language – like destination for families. Uh-huh. It's such a joy to go out there, to have the koi feeding pond, to see all the little minnows all the time, so many like great sounds, beauty. You've got so many cool like structural fountains that just shoot up from the ground. I mean,
yeah,
it's just like –
it's fun.
It's like a little amusement park.
We have our friends and family night twice a year and I think it was last spring, last 4th of July, Friends and Family Night. I noticed this one young man. He's out there feeding the fish, and he just stayed there. And I started talking to him. I said, can I video you feeding the fish? Can I put it on Facebook? Let me ask your parent mother if it's okay. And I talked to the mom, and she said they had just moved to Houston. Her husband had died. He had lost his father. Hmm. And the therapy was to come to our shop every weekend to feed the fish.
Right.
And this kid is now 13 years old, but I'm sure he's going to be working for us in 3 years.
<That'd>
but it was
awesome.
Really heartwarming to know that we were a part of that.
Absolutely. That's incredibly wonderful. I mean, that's the sort of vibe. I mean, when I'm like, man, like homeschool classes should be taught here. You know what I mean? It's like the sort of thing I'm like, golly, this is really an amazing spot. So great job setting that up. And I know you guys have been known forever nationally, worldwide as water gardens, but you have such a phenomenal nursery part of it that you're growing and improving.
Well, you know, you mentioned homeschooling. Water gardening is a beautiful example of the nitrogen cycle,
which
you have to learn in high school.
Absolutely.
And we actually use it. You know, you go to high school and you go, why am I learning this? I'm never going to use this in my life after high school. And yet the nitrogen cycle is something that is utilized at our business to make our ponds clearer.
You actually have to – you apply it.
Yeah. So when I do have homeschool groups, I go through that whole cycle with them.
I think it's just a gym, and I know it's not a secret, but it's like such a cool spot. So anyway, thanks for doing all you do.
Well, thank you, Danny.
We're going to do blueberries really quickly.
Okay.
So you've done blueberries.
I'm doing blueberries.
You're doing blueberries.
Yes, I'm on my fourth or fifth year of blueberries. Successful year. I've tried them before. I was not successful. I put them in raised beds in regular soil. And they grew, but they never really did produce much.
Sure.
So, and I had them in sun. And they can grow in sun, but this time I consulted with somebody and I planted them in an area where they have a northern exposure, so they get a lot of sun in the summertime, but still shaded.
Yeah.
And I planted them in boxes that was exposed to the soil, but I filled the boxes up with peat moss and planted them in pure peat moss. So they've done great ever since then. And I fertilize them with the MicroLife acidifying fertilizer that they have. And I mulch them with the leaves from the forest around our house every year.
That's so interesting.
And they're doing great. They're doing great. I get at least 6 weeks of blueberries because I mixed up all my varieties of 8 bushes, and they're huge now. And so we're picking for 6 weeks of blueberries.
I mean, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And blueberries are a real nutrient package.
Mm, yeah, the berries themselves.
They are. All berries are.
Yeah.
Even more so than fruit. And so that's one of the reasons why I got interested in berries and growing them, because they give you so much more nutrition per bite of food, I guess you
right.
could say, per package. And so that's why I wanted to grow
so
them.
So in short, you got them in raised beds in pure peat moss, and you're adding minerals and adding MicroLife.
I am. And then the roots can penetrate into the ground.
Absolutely.
And get whatever
do
is
all
the
harvesting you want to do, but they're keeping that moisture there.
Yes.
They're allowing the fungi to grow up in it, and they're kind of in a good acid space.
Yeah. I forget what they're called, but you can buy these clay jugs, and you fill them with water, and the water seeps out.
Yeah.
I have those in there, but you could just use a regular milk jug.
Sure.
And so I fill those up once a week.
So cool.
So they get a steady amount of water.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. If you were ever going to copy and paste something about blueberries, that was the thing to copy and paste.
Well, they are water shrubs almost. So.
Yeah, they are. They love little glades near lakes and stuff. Well, thanks so much. Great word. We're going to keep on going. Next segment, we're going to kind of rush through a couple of calls. So Terry and Russell, we're definitely going to get to you. This is Home Show Garden Pros.
You got to eat healthy to be healthy. True for you, true for your garden, yard, and landscaping. Feed your plants. Choose MicroLife Humates Plus Granular with the purple label. MicroLife Humates Plus is concentrated compost in a bag. Easy way to improve all soils and support all plants. Feed now and your plants will love you back in the spring. MicroLife Humates Plus Granular Fertilizer, perfect for winter feeding. Healthy soil, healthy plants, healthy people. Visit MicroLifeFertilizer.com.
Yes.
Welcome back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
Welcome back, Home Show Garden Pros. We're going to quickly get into some answering a couple of questions. Anita Nelson is here from Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens. And Terry, what is your question for Anita?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good. Hey, Terry.
Hey, listen, I've got several, just a quick question. One, can I grow goji berries in Cold Spring?
Now, that's a berry I haven't tried.
Yeah, you know, they're a mountainous berry, so they really require very fast-draining soil. So raised bed, hillside, something like that's going to work. Probably real, real rich, well-draining soil on a hillside would be your best bet.
What about chillos?
Well, I do live in it. Up there, I live on about an 18-degree grade, so that's a good drainage.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think it's 500 is chill hours, so you should be fine in Cold Spring there too. But they're like near Himalayan; they love the cold. So the summertime
You want to talk about a strong berry with pull? I mean, like blueberries, they're wonderful. I've heard. I don't even know where to get them from. Any idea where I could get them from? That's another question. Sorry.
You know, I don't. You can order a lot of plants online, but I might just call around next time you're in town. Call around who's got a – you know, call when you're at home, but when you come to town, see what Buchanan's is doing and Plants for All Seasons and Enchanted Gardens and Nursery, what Nelson's is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we build a market for it, we'll be able to get it. But they are powerhouse for sure.
I'm going to try them.
Ma'am?
I said I'm going to try them too, Terry. We can work on it together.
I like that.
Oh, you should. Yeah, you should read up on them. They're just unbelievable. But another thing is too – I heard your caller before about how the thorny things pull up.
Yeah.
So each one of those limbs, should I just slice them off until I get to – I should slice every one of those off, what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if it's a water sprout, you can leave it. But we don't want real vertical limbs in our plants ever. You know, we want that one single trunk, if even that, with citrus. And if it's below the graft line, it's all got to come off, all of it.
Yeah. Well, actually, the ones – there's like four of them on each one of them. And there's four trees that have about five to six branches like that. I let them grow, what you're saying, that I just need to go ahead and cut them off vertically is what I need to do.
Honestly, if they're above the graft line, you can actually take them and train them to go sideways with a milk jug or a steak or something like that. A wooden steak, not a meat steak. And you can help them do that. So hope that helps, Terry. I'm going to get on to make sure Russell gets his question in here.
Okay, fair enough, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Terry. Call us back sometime, man. That was Terry, good regular caller. Loves his fruit trees, just like we do. All right, Russell, you're on Home Show Garden Pros.
Hey, good morning. Quick question. I want to add like 40 feet by 4 feet to my flower bed, but I just want to plant like cone flowers, blanket flowers, and rudbeckia type of stuff like that.
Yeah.
What's the minimum that I have to raise it up? Because I kind of want it to take over.
Sure.
But I don't want to, like last year I added the same, but I, you know, yards of dirt.
You're basically talking about prairie restoration.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or prairie creation. And I would put down inch of compost, let it sit for about 3 weeks, and then heavy seed. That's what I would do.
Heavy seed.
Anywhere you want to plant, that's great too. Plant plants, but give it that 2-3 weeks of compost treatment, and that's really all you've got to raise it.
Huh.
Because you know those wild plants do like wild soil. So,
inch of compost, and then heavy seed 3 weeks from now.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty simple.
And then you may need to do a reapplication of seed because a lot of those plants, the spring plants, are you really seed in the fall, but we're not that far away from it. So,
what do you think?
I thought about buying some starter plants. I mean,
I think that's great too.
Houston Audubon or something like that.
I think that's a great thing to do also.
That's how I did it with mine because I wanted to start a big echinacea bed too, coneflower bed. And I put in seed and I also planted the plants I bought because I want to get a thick forest of it like you do.
I think the Audubon is a great sales, and I think they may be combining. If they're not, then another great sale is with the Arboretum. They do a huge native plant sale. So both those places are a great place to get a lot of those flowering ones. And you know what? Diversity is like a very important thing in this setting. So just remember that. Don't limit yourself to those 2, 3, 4 flowers. You know, go a little nuts.
Okay. Well, my yard is already kind of nuts, so I have a reason, but I don't have no rhyme to it.
Sure.
So I'm kind of thinking if I have some kind of something to make it look aesthetically pleasing, because I just plant stuff all over the place.
Well, I would say finish this off, then try to polish some edges, knowing that wildlife gardening is really going to be the big impact, and you're helping the whole planet out by doing that. So I think it's awesome, Russell.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thanks again.
And big thanks to you.
Thank
Anita,
you, Danny.
This has been Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Getting the yard and garden you really want is easy with help from the Home Show Garden Pros. Houston's most trusted nurseries come together with Danny Milligan.
Saturday, 7 till 9.
Taking your calls, answering questions, or anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com. Videos, advice, tips, and the Garden Pros Podcast. Always on,
always free.
Helping you be a better gardener. The Home Show Garden Pros. Saturday, 7 till 9 on Sports Radio 610.
And online anytime
at homeshowgardenpros.com. Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.